Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the day, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, we've got a great prescription for you today. As always, if you are feeling like you are experiencing the demands of instant gratification, a world that measures your worth by milestones, where you should be, having it all, and especially for women who feel like they're feeling behind and they're pressured to keep up, to achieve the next big moment, and you're missing the present and feeling like, is it too late? It is not too late. It is never too late. And that is the message we're bringing to you on this Monday with Rebecca George. She is the author of You're Not Too Late, Trusting God's Timing in a Hurry-Up World. And she has honesty. She has warmth. She speaks very authentically from her own experience, whether that's wrestling with unfulfilled longings, whether that's for a child, a house, healing in broken relationships, clarity in your calling. She is here to remind us with the timeless truth that God's timing is always right on schedule. And I know I talk to so many people, so many places who will resonate with Rebecca's message. And Rebecca, I'm just so appreciative of your authenticity and your transparency and sharing this message. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, Jessica, I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's just talk about your story. Let's just dive in, because really, I feel like you unpack your story all through the book and you give us God's truths, but you also show us how you have lived this out in your life. So what inspired you to write this? Just tell us a little bit about you and how God brought you to this moment.
Absolutely. Well, as I reflected back on my story and kind of dreamed with the Lord about what he might want me to write next, at first, Jessica, I thought it was maybe a book on singleness, because I faced many challenges in that season of my life. I was a bridesmaid 12 times before I married my husband in 2019, and just thought back on that season and felt like I had some wisdom to offer. But as I continued to reflect back on my own journey, and even in present day looking forward, I realized that longing in my life never ended. It didn't end when I got married. And as I talked to other women that are in my life as well, I just began to realize so many challenges that we face, as you beautifully described a moment ago, as it pertains to our waiting season, whether it is a relational need, a vocational season of waiting that we're walking through, the challenges of those and what that looks like. There's some commonality in that. And I know that's happened and been the case in my own life. Things like doubt, will God ever show up, or will he provide in the way that I am hoping for or imagine that he will? And what do I do if he doesn't? And how do I see his character in the midst of that? And isolation and community, how do we pursue community in the middle of our waiting seasons when our world really is built for less and less of that as time progresses? And so I just really reflected with the Lord on many seasons of my life, singleness, even the beginning few years of marriage. My husband and I have been married almost 6 years, and we'll certainly get into this for sure, but we do not have children yet, and so there's certainly challenges in watching your friends take that step in their family's life and things like that, and sitting with that longing yourself. And so whether it be the desire to become a grandparent or reconcile a relationship or whatever longing looks like for listeners today, I pray that the message will bring encouragement to them.
You know, Rebecca, you shared this in such a beautiful way in one particular story about your longing for marriage. You shared a story about a place called Blue Mountain Mist. And I would love for you to share that with our listeners, because it was such a great illustration of waiting on God's timing to fulfill that longing, but also your realization that longing begets longing, which I think was earth-shattering and something we need to just sit in for a minute. Would you tell our listeners about Blue Mountain Mist?
Oh, I would love to. And this is a good call out for them. If anybody ever visits East Tennessee, it is my very favorite bed and breakfast, nestled in the foothills of the Smokies. And years ago, I was invited to speak at a women's retreat for a local church in my town. And I was single at the time. I decided to take my mom along with me on that trip, which was a lot of fun. And we got to the bed and breakfast where the retreat was being held and had some downtime in between things. And we were checking into the bed and breakfast, and the person behind the desk, you know, checked us in, got our keys ready for us. And she walked us up the stairs of the main house to this beautiful room. It had a beautiful bed and a massive jacuzzi tub overlooking the mountains. It was just stunning. And in between sessions and going out to shop with my mom that night, we filled up the jacuzzi tub and just sat with our feet soaking in the water and just savored that time together. But by the same token, I was also struggling with, you know, man, I would love to enjoy this type of place with my future spouse one day, and just longing for that season of life. And it was so sweet of the Lord to write this story, Jessica, because many years later, I dated my now husband, and I'm skipping over a lot of details, mm-hmm. but we married and were ministering at a church in South Mississippi, and we were invited to speak at another small retreat of folks from our home church back in East Tennessee. And when we traveled up a few weeks before we left, I asked my husband, you know, do you know where that retreat that we're speaking at is being held? And let's, you know, firm up the details. And I remember him looking at me and saying, I need to get the exact phrase of the place, but I think it's Blue Mist or Blue Mountain something. And in that moment, Jessica, I knew it was the same place that I had been so long ago. And so when we traveled up to speak that weekend, it was so sweet. We checked in and, you know, there was this significant moment for me of the person behind the desk asking me what my last name was. And that was so redemptive because I was able mm-hmm. to tell her, well, my last name is George now. And so she checked us in and walked us up to the very same room in out of the whole property that we could have stayed at, the same room as I had stayed in with my mom so many years ago, which was totally not by accident, right? And so we got to enjoy that time together, and it was such a redemptive moment. And at the same time, as you said a moment ago, I just noticed that longing leads to more longing, because I had that moment of redemption in the same room with my husband many years later, but then Blue Mountain Mist is somewhere we go often to celebrate anniversaries and things. And the next year, the following year, we came back to visit, and we stayed in a different room in the house. And I sat my luggage down and I looked out the window and I saw a young family kind of walking through the parking lot. And there was a dad, mom, and a young boy. And the young boy was just enamored with this bird flying around the parking lot, and he was making comments about it. And in that moment, Jessica, this new longing kind of developed in my heart of, wow, it would be so special to experience that as a family one day whenever we have children, Lord willing. And so it was such a powerful reminder to me that longing and waiting is something we will experience until we meet Jesus. And I think it's how we navigate those seasons and confront the challenges that come up along the way that matters. But that was a sweet story, and I love how God wrote that and just offered redemption there, and was a good reminder to me that we still wait on things and experience longing even in these seasons.
You know, I loved that about your story, Rebecca, because it was a story with a happy ending and a lesson. I mean, yes, God was faithful and he fulfilled that longing of your heart, because we know that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our heart. Many times when we embark on that journey, he changes our desires as we walk closely with him. Sure. We see what he has for us. And Rebecca, as I was reading your story, I couldn't help but actually think of Psalm 23. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, wait, that's what you read at a funeral. But sometimes I think that we need to think about that in the death of our dreams. When we think about maybe we have a dream, like this dream has died. And when I was thinking back over the psalm, as I was reading your story, Rebecca, I read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then, of course, you know, the psalm is probably familiar to so many, but it does not say, Rebecca, he leads you to this destination and then blesses you with everything you want. Like it talks That's about right. the journey. And I think you do such a beautiful job of saying that our whole lives are going to be a series of longings, some that are fulfilled, some that are unfulfilled, some that we praise God for, some that we don't understand this side of heaven. But you do such a good job unpacking that journey and really sitting in the journey. And you share a lot of personal stories of longing and disappointment in faith. Which one do you think was the most difficult to write?
I think for me, Jessica, there's a story I write and I recount a memory of when my husband and I visited Israel. We went the very first year we were married, which was such a gift to me. I'll never forget it. And a theme of that trip was olive trees. We saw olive trees everywhere we went, and Bethlehem and Jerusalem and the Garden of Gethsemane. And my husband is the gardener of the George family. And I could see his wheels turning, and he did some research and actually found a species of olive tree. It's called the Arbequina, that would grow in our climate where we lived in Mississippi at the time. And in his research on these olive trees, he discovered this term called chill hours. And basically what that means is every species of olive tree has to withstand a certain number of hours in the winter below a certain temperature in order to bear fruit. And we got home from Israel. He ordered a couple of these olive trees, planted one in the backyard. We saw it kind of leaf out over the year or two that followed. And when I was dreaming about this book and this message a couple of years ago, I was sitting on our back porch. And again, Jessica, just still experiencing longing in different ways, vocational and otherwise. And I looked out at that tree and I thought back on all of his research, and the term chill hours just stuck out to me, because I thought, how many times do I just cry out to the Lord and say, I would love to escape all of my chill hours. I would love to not have to withstand those colder, darker temperature seasons of life in order to produce fruit in my life. And those are so many times the very things that mold and shape and refine and grow us more into the likeness of Jesus. And so I would say the most challenging and maybe the most sobering reminder throughout the writing process was this idea of chill hours and how God uses them for his glory and in the sanctification process of us becoming more like Jesus.
You know, it's so hard, Rebecca, because so much of what I read and your experience I see, and, you know, I've got kids who are entering that college age and then now entering the workforce, and you see well-meaning people. They're just trying to make conversation, and they say things like, "Oh, have you met anybody yet? Are you getting married? Are you going to have a baby?" And it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, have you gotten a job yet? Like, what are you doing? And it just creates this, you know, pressure. And then when you try to respond and saying something really, you know, spiritual, like, "No, I'm just waiting on God's timing." Like, it's really hard, I think, to just lean forward in that with honesty. And we're coming up on a break, Rebecca, but my goodness, we have so much more to talk about. And I'd encourage you, if you are feeling that way in your life, if you are feeling like you are in the chill hours, if you are in the waiting room, or you're just feeling like, is God's timing really right? Like, come on, hurry up. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Get a copy of Rebecca's book. It's Rebecca George, You're Not Too Late, Trusting God's Timing in a Hurry Up World, and especially in today's timing when we are living at the speed of a smartphone and everything is seen through the lens of accomplishments or life stages. This is the book for you. As Rebecca says, this is the book for the hopefuls, the almost but not yets, the crushed in defeat, the stunned by a lack of progress, and the weary woman ready to hang up her jersey. There will always be a low hum in our culture whispering, "Then you'll be happy." The answer to your pain is not to sit on your hands awaiting the moment when God will orchestrate your wildest dreams. No. There is a great purpose exactly where He has placed your feet. Right now, you are not too late. We are on God's watch. He sees the entirety of our lives from the perspective of eternity. These pages are for you, my dear friend. And Rebecca does make us feel like friends. And we'll be back with more wisdom from her experience, more with Rebecca George on the other side of this break. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Who can bend my burdens and make them beautiful? Who can bring the healing to the hurt I hold? Who else could part the waters when I'm needed away? Though I'm walking through the valley, I believe when you say, I believe when you say, for the good.
Welcome back, friends. That is For the Good by Riley Clemons, and that's exactly what we're talking about today. God working all things for good for you, whether you're on a broken road, as she's singing about, whether you're in the valley of the shadow of death of your dreams, if you're thinking, my life is not on time, this is not where I thought I would be, when I thought I would be there, I thought I would have met these milestones in my career and my personal life and my family, whatever it is, if you are feeling like you are behind, this show is for you. I'm talking to Rebecca George, author of You're Not Too Late, Trusting God's Timing in a Hurry Up World. And she is bringing practical wisdom on bringing our disappointments to God, and giving us real life strategies for dealing with envy and isolation and doubt. And how do we cultivate contentment regardless of our circumstances? And Rebecca, before the break, we were talking about your story and just so many other people I know who can relate, feeling like, I am behind. I am not there. And we feel this societal pressure. And sometimes, you know, really well-meaning, relatives or friends or people at church, they see us and they want those things for us and they want to celebrate, but they start asking those questions, you know, like, when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to get married? And when are you going to get a job? And oh, you're still here and doing this. And you have some great advice for helping those of us who see people in those stages and how we can speak words of encouragement. And as you say, be all about what God is doing in their life.
Yes. Oh, I think this conversation is so important, Jessica, especially during holidays, birthday parties, wedding and baby showers, all of those instances that might bring about a little bit of extra emotion as it pertains to our longing. So I'll first speak to maybe the grandparent or parent who they're maybe welcoming their child back home and curious about their dating life and things like that. And I love this moment that I had a few years ago. I was in the middle of a conversation with my grandparents. There are four granddaughters on my mom's side of the family. And at the time, I was the only one that was married. And I got in a conversation with my grandparents about the singleness of the other three granddaughters. And we all expressed just this desire for them to find godly men to marry and all of those things. And I finally just remember looking at my grandmother and grandfather and saying, you know, at the end of the day, there is no one who's grieving these years in their late 20s, early 30s, that they're doing that without a spouse more than them, right? And so I just encourage them to step back and go, what is God doing in their lives? And how do I be about that? How do I invest in that? Ask about that, steer conversations toward that. And many times, and you'll probably relate to this, Jessica, in your own life with your family, when there's a safety and a developed relationship there, I'm more likely to open up and share, hey, I went on a date with this guy, or hey, we're trying for a baby or whatever. When that trust exists and there's been a significant effort put towards what the child is passionate about, what their life consists of, how they're spending their time, It may lead to those conversations, but I do think we can be sensitive to those spots in our kids' hearts and our grandchildren's hearts that might be a little sensitive. And I think that's the kind thing to do in those instances. And on the receiving end, I'll give a couple of practical thoughts and then toss it back to you. But a couple of things that I know I have done, whether it be to, you know, I have a baby shower to go to in a couple of weeks. And my husband and I, we're in a season of life where we don't have children yet. And so there's a longing there that bubbles up in my heart when I go to things like baby showers. And a couple of things I do when that comes up in my heart, I just take it to the Lord. I go back to this passage in Psalm 139 a lot, Jessica. It's verse 23 and 24, and it says, "Search my heart, O God, try me and know my anxious thoughts. If there be a grievous way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." And I kind of use that as a prayer prompt to say, God, search my heart, try me and know my thoughts, reveal those areas of my heart where maybe I'm struggling with doubt or despair or jealousy, comparison, and show me where I'm not thinking about the situation in the same way you are, God. And lead me back to the way you want me to see the situation. Give me your eyes. Give me your vantage point. And I found that prayer prompt to be extremely helpful. So that would be one practical thing I would give. The other piece that I would say is to just spend a little bit of time pre-deciding how we want to show up. That can be everything from, you know, imagining, okay, when I walk in the room, I want to show up for my friend with joy. Maybe God has blessed her with this baby, and I want to celebrate this baby well at this baby shower. And so think about the words of encouragement that you want to give that mama. Think about how that will play out. And then also imagine, okay, if I'm asked, hey, when are you having a baby? How am I going to answer that question? I can pre-decide that before the baby shower so that I'm not caught off guard. Unmerited anger or frustration doesn't bubble up in my heart. And I'm able to answer the person's question with grace while also honoring my season and not over-justifying, over-explaining and those types of things, maybe why my life doesn't look like they would have imagined it to be, if that makes sense.
You know, I appreciate that, Rebecca, and how you're speaking is really how you write. You share some wisdom with us, and then you share your story and say, hey, here's how this worked out in my life and how I'm living and how I experienced that. And it's so relatable, and I think that's really helpful. And when you're walking with the Lord, one of the things that you can do is the power of the redirect. So when somebody asks you that invasive question, this is what I often will coach people in this life stage for various things. Most of the time it's, when are you getting married? When are you going to have a baby? And you can just say something like, you know, I'm trusting on God's timing, and that's a lesson that he's really teaching me. I'd love to talk to you more about what God's doing in my life. Boom, there you go. And then you run off with the conversation and you can take it whatever direction you want and say what, and then maybe that's an uncomfortable question for them back. What's God doing in your life? Okay, let's have some conversation about that. But you know, you share a lot of different stories, a lot of different seasons, Rebecca. It feels like you have lived so many lifetimes already in your short years so far. But you say that the greatest work happens in the dark. And I know that you have felt there was a time when God's pace for your life just wasn't matching what you thought it was going to look like and how that shaped your faith journey. And I'd love for you to share another story of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most profound moments that I'd love to share was a story a few years ago. I went on a hike with a friend. I actually opened You're Not Too Late with this story. And I was struggling with singleness. I had been a bridesmaid 12 times, as I shared earlier, and was just marrying off all of my friends and wondering if that season of life would ever happen for me. And I was friends with a gal that called me one day and she said, you know, I've had a rough week at work. I know you've had a rough week too. Let's go hiking this weekend. And so on Saturday morning, we took off and headed towards the Smokies, which is close to where I live, here in East Tennessee, and we tried out a new trail that neither of us had done before. And I remember parking and beginning our walk, and it was just a beautiful day in late summer. And we hiked up the trail and talked a little bit, but a good bit of the hike, I just silently prayed and just was really honest before the Lord of, am I ever going to have my turn? Am I ever going to find my person and get to walk through life and do ministry with my spouse? And what's that going to look like? And just crying out to the Lord. And on our way back down from the hike, I stopped at a bench and we sat and just took some photos. And she took a quick photo of me doing a back bend on the bench. And we left the trail that day. And I thought, oh, I'll post that photo to Instagram. And I did. And I kind of forgot about it, to be honest, Jessica. And many years later, I started dating my now husband, Dustin. And while we were dating, we were pretty serious at this time, and he called me one day and sent me a couple of photos, and he said, I need to tell you a story, but I think I just found something pretty cool. And he recounted a story to me, Jessica, of a day he went fly fishing, which is his favorite thing to do in the entire world, went to a trout stream that he fishes often, hiked up to it, and fished, and was having honestly a pretty similar day as I was those years ago, and was just saying kind of the same thing to the Lord. Am I ever going to have my turn? You know, I know you're showing me things, you're teaching me things in this season of singleness. I don't want to waste it, but I also know you've given me this desire for marriage, and that's a good desire that's from you, and so I want to steward that well. And he recounted the story to me of hiking back down the trail that day, and he found a bench, and he sat down, and yes, and was praying for his future wife. And he said, honestly, Rebecca, totally in faith, I stood up and I took a photo of the bench in hopes that one day I would bring my future wife, you, to this place to show her one of the places where I prayed for her. And he then asked me to pull the photos up on my phone, and he had seen the photo that I had posted to my Instagram, not knowing the story that I just told you, which I shared with him. And it jogged a memory of that day that he went and prayed when he was single. And it was the same place, Jessica. It was the same trail, the same bench, and all of the Smoky Mountains. God had sent us to the same place years apart to pray for one another. And so I think it's just such a convicting reminder that God is writing our stories from his perfect, infinite vantage point. And we see such a limited perspective of that. And so if you sense that, you know, you're in a dark season, you're navigating these waiting and longing seasons, I had no clue the story God was writing that day that my friend and I just stumbled upon this hike and this bench. But he is at work in you. He is at work through you. He's gone before you. And that story has just served as such an encouragement to me, even in future seasons of waiting, because despite our circumstances, despite what's going on in our lives in the waiting, he is in control. He is faithful, and he's still writing our stories.
And he has written a pretty amazing one with you, Rebecca. And I see how God is working all of these things and orchestrating them together. You talk about the longings of your heart to have a career, to have a spouse, to, you know, just have a ministry, to be able to encourage other people. And we can't minister to other people. Usually that ministry comes out of our own pain, our own experiences, our own struggles. It doesn't come from, oh yes, my life has been absolutely perfect, and let me just tell you how perfect it's been and the happiness that you've been there, but it's the growth that we've experienced. And Rebecca, you just have story after story after story like this. And I think how good for God to write this beautiful story for you to be able to share everything and really to have a ministry, to have a husband. And I think that one of the most important things that I got from reading your book is that longing begets longing. So if you're just waiting on the happy ending, it's never really like fulfilled there, because there's always something else. And so you marry Dustin and you share that story in your book, and it's so beautiful. But then you had a period of longing, and when you were thinking about him going to, he's a pastor, and you're thinking about him going to another church, you have another story there. And I know I keep asking you to tell the stories, but we can learn so much through the power of stories. And if Jesus did it, we can do it too. So I would love for you to share that story of longing.
Oh, absolutely. I love that longing is not exclusive to just our relational needs this side of heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Even in our vocational life, there are instances of that. And yes, Jessica, there was a season about 3 years ago where my husband and I just sensed that he might have something new for us, and our hearts really longed to be back in East Tennessee. And I came across a job posting that, I saw it, and I just had this check in my heart of, ooh, maybe this is something. Maybe this might be for us. And it was so interesting because we had shared opportunities, you know, with one another on both sides of our careers, mine and his, over the years. But for some reason, when I pulled up this job description, it was as if the Holy Spirit told me, you don't need to tell him about this. If this is something for the two of you, he will bring it up, which seems so odd because we'd have plenty of conversations about career moves. And so I deleted the draft of a text I had written to him and closed my laptop and kind of stomped my feet at the Lord. And I was frustrated, but I didn't say anything. And a couple of weeks later, we went to dinner in a kind of a neighboring town, and I had not stopped thinking or praying about the opportunity. And in the middle of our drive back home, I remember where we were on the highway. Dustin looked at me and he said, you know, there's a church in East Tennessee, and he named the town, that is looking for a pastor right now. And Jessica, all the blood drained from my face. And I said, yeah, I know. And the Lord told me not to tell you about it. And that if you did, that this would be, you know, confirmation. Maybe it's something we should think about or pursue. And so we did. He sent his resume in. And
I'm going to hold you right there, Rebecca, because that is, you would think that's the end of the story. Like, okay, great. And he gets the job. But there is more to come. And if you're wanting to know more about these stories that Rebecca is sharing, get her book, You're Not Too Late, Trusting God's Timing in a Hurry Up World. It gives step-by-step guidance for replacing negative thought patterns with life-giving habits. And there's even some videos in there from Rebecca, where if you're enjoying this conversation that we're having with her over coffee, you can have more. And we'll have more with Rebecca George on the other side of this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Ben Witherington from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I like to say a text without a context is just a pretext for whatever you want it to mean. In other words, without the historical context, you can twist that text and make it mean whatever you would like it to mean. And more importantly, Christianity is a historical religion. I would put it this way. Nothing is theologically true that's historically false. The historical foundation of the Christian faith is fundamental to our faith. So, therefore, it follows that studying the historical context of the New Testament is critical to understanding it at all.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting me.
Welcome back, friends. That is Impossible Things by Chris Tomlin, and God can work the impossible. Maybe you're listening today and you just feel like it's too late. It's too late for that reconciliation in the relationship. It's too late for your family to get back together. It's too late for you to find a spouse. It's too late for you to have a baby. It's too late for everything. You are not too late. It is not too late. We're talking to Rebecca George about that today, talking about her book, You're Not Too Late, Trusting God's Timing in a Hurry-Up World. Now, Rebecca is an author. She's a podcaster, a speaker, and her work has been featured on all kinds of places. And she has been sharing her story of just feeling like she has been in that where her timing, her expectations of timing don't match what God seems to have planned for her. But she has shared the ways that God has been gracious to her in revealing the timing and finding her spouse. And you were just talking before the break, Rebecca, about Dustin. You found your Prince Charming. You got married. You went to the magical resort and the Smoky Mountains, which I love the Smoky Mountains too. And you were talking about finding a church. And I left you off in the middle of that story, and I'm going to give it back to you there.
Yeah. Perfect. Yes. So Dustin had sent his resume into this church that we were interested in, just exploring if that was something God had for us. And Jessica, we didn't hear anything for 6 months. And it was such an interesting journey because I think for Dustin, there was the good bit of his heart that just he wanted to finish well, not knowing how long that season would be and how long God would keep us in Mississippi. And so did I. And for my heart, there was still this piece of me that wondered if God had something for us there. And so every once in a while, I would check their website to see, have they added a new lead pastor to their website and things like that. And then there was a day that I saw the job posting be removed from the website. And so that felt discouraging, like, oh, they probably found somebody. And also, that was the person that God was maybe calling to that position. So just trusting him, with both of the outcomes, no matter what that looked like. And 6 months later, I was actually here in Tennessee visiting my family, and Dustin texted me and told me to check my email, and we had gotten an email from the search committee of the church, and it shocked us both because it had been so long since he had submitted his resume, and that kind of began the process of us exploring, whether or not God maybe had something here. Spoiler alert, the end of the story is we did move back to East Tennessee, and this was what God had for us. But in the meanwhile of that, Jessica, I would many times listen to this worship song. The person that does it, it's escaping my mind, but the song
Maverick City Music. I read this.
Yes. Oh, yep. Maverick City. Yes, 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 yes. The song is called God Will Work It Out. And I would often just pray that. Like, God, I trust you. I know you are in control. I know you will provide. And I'm just asking that you will work it out. I don't know what that means, but you do. And so I'm just asking that you would show up in the way that brings you the most honor and glory and us the most good. And, you know, in this instance, that was for us to move, and that was what God had next for us. But I think that is such a powerful prayer to pray when we don't know what to say to the Lord, is just, God, I trust that you will work it out. And I'm just laying it back into your hands.
You know, you talk in your book about Lord, then we get this and kind of this prosperity gospel kind of feeling, like that we have this, we make a bargain with God. And if we do this, then he owes us this. And if we do this, then he'll give us what we want. And the truth is that God is sovereign. And just like you were talking about, he will work it out. You don't know how, you don't know in what way. How do you transition from that, from giving up the control of what you want things to look like? And you talk about 10 common challenges that we face in doing this, but letting go and trusting the outcome to God and realizing he doesn't owe us a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such an important piece of this, because so many times in the waiting, you know, we are so accustomed to such a fast pace of life. Our lives are kind of running at a microwave pace, and even easy conveniences that used to inconvenience us, like DoorDash or Uber, have just sped up our lives so, so much. And so it feels difficult to hand over that control that is rightfully God's. And I think the core truth that has been transformational for me in this is considering that God, in his in-controlness, in his sovereignty, in his provision, he is that God. He is that unchanging God, regardless of my circumstances. I think so many times, as you said a moment ago, we kind of equate, oh, this thing happens in my life with God is good, he is in control, and he is faithful. But I've had to learn to kind of unhinge that a little bit, Jessica, because he is good, he is in control, he is faithful, he provides, he is merciful and gracious in the valley, in my season of suffering, when I don't know how it's going to work out and all the pieces are going to come together, just as he is that same unchanging, faithful, in control, merciful and gracious God on the mountaintop when it does turn out like I wished. And so I think knowing his character is unchanging despite my life that does change, and I don't always know the outcome, really standing on that truth has been so helpful to me.
Well, when I look at the contents of your book, you illustrate this really well, even as I'm looking at the chapter names, because I think that we think of our life experience sometimes in that season of longing and waiting as a linear journey. Like, I'm in despair, mm-hmm. I want to get to joy. I'm in doubt, I want to get to hope. But the names of your titles, Rebecca, they hold the tension between those two things. It's despair and joy, idolatry and surrender, doubt and hope, fear and confidence, jealousy and gratitude, isolation and community. And I think you do such a great job of really walking through the tension that we hold in that perspective. And so how did you decide to do that and to name your chapters and to wade into the messy middle here?
Honestly, if I'm really transparent here, Jessica, one of my greatest fears of this book was that I would somehow try to tie people's hearts' desires into like a perfectly, you know, tied bow, right? Mm-hmm. And there's just, as you said, nuance that exists between, you know, the doubt that we feel and the hope that we experience in Christ. And so as I thought about my own journey, I just really went before the Lord and said, okay, reveal to me, what are the things that come up in my heart when I'm anxious about the outcome, when I don't know how you're going to work it out, when I'm scared about what's to come, when I'm doubting if you'll provide. And there were more than 10 to start. And my publisher encouraged me, and we worked together to just whittle it down to what we felt strongly would be the most helpful to the reader. So this is certainly not exhaustive, but I think it meets the needs of a lot of our longings. And so I do think that, and I pray that, the approach feels much more like a, hey, on your journey to joy as you abide in Jesus, you're going to experience despair. So let me point you back to truth as you do that. As you experience that doubt, how do we learn how to place the full weight of our hope in Christ? And so I love that that's a journey, and I think it's important that you point that out, because you're right. It is not always up and to the right, this journey that we have with our waiting and longing. Mm-hmm. We're always just going to be in that process as we become more like Jesus, as he molds and shapes us. And so we will never arrive in any of these 10 areas. But I think the more important piece is, as we navigate a broken world and we bump up against these things, that we know where to turn, you know?
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that I've longed for in my life is reconciliation of family relationships, just having some healing in some of those places that need healing, and longing for that, and just feeling like, okay, like, God, this is a good thing. I'm not asking you for a lot of money or something, you know, that would seem worldly or even bad. You're asking for good things, like having a baby, like getting married, you know, like having a ministry. And it can be so hard. But one of the verses that has really stuck with me is Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And that was part of my journey, Rebecca, is learning that it wasn't about finding the destination. It was about being obedient in the journey and knowing that God was going to be a sun. He was going to light my path, show me where to go. He was going to be a shield. He would protect me from things that I saw as good, but he saw were harmful or that weren't good in that moment. And then he's going to give us glory, which the original meaning of that word is doxa, where we get doxology. It means the physical weight of God's presence. It's like a comfort blanket that he gives us. So I'm like, okay, I have a flashlight, I have a shield, and I have a comfort blanket. Like, I am good. I can go journey, even if it's not going somewhere that I thought that it would. And one of the things I love about your book, about your ministry, is that turning towards scripture as a foundation is just central. So what are ways that you have learned to start leaning on scripture, and how do you help people to do that through this book?
Yes, absolutely. There are two places in the book that have helped me, and I've practically done this in my everyday life, but I was able to embed this in, and I think it really matters. The first one is in the hope chapter, because as I thought about hope, I can't do that apart from leaning into who God is and pointing people back to that in the midst of their doubt and wondering how it would work out. And so, similar to our conversation a minute ago of, you know, in those moments, we have to kind of refocus. I've kind of included this list of characteristics and information about just God's character and who he is, and scripture that backs that up. And I go back to that a lot when I'm discouraged and I'm struggling with doubt, to just refix my heart on who God is. The other piece that's been helpful to me is in the confidence chapter. I talk a lot about rooting our identity and who we are in Christ. And I have a list there as well of just what that means practically, that we are God's child. We are his ambassador. We're his disciple. And scripture that backs those up, to kind of be this place we can turn in those moments when we need to be reminded of who we are in him. And so a lot of times it's me recognizing, oh, this is bubbling up in my heart. I need to go back to scripture and point myself back to who God is, or who he says that I am in him. That's been so helpful.
Well, and what's really helpful is that your book is interactive, Rebecca. This is not just read this and gain some perspective. And, you know, there are some books that do that. You challenge the reader. You're like, nope, you're going to get in here. You're going to roll up your sleeves. You're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to, you know, get into this, and you give some activities and you give some action points. Because I think sometimes, especially people who have a longing, who feel like they're in a season of waiting, they feel stuck. How do you use these interactive pieces to say, hey, get unstuck? Here's how you can get some forward momentum.
Sure, absolutely. I hope that we've met all of those needs in this book. At the end of every chapter, there are discussion prompts, scripture for reflection, a case study of how this might play out in someone's life, as well as an interactive video series that's free to the reader included with your purchase of the book. So whether you're reading alone and need a jolt of encouragement or you're walking through it with a group, I pray that we've met all of those needs of the journaler, the processor, and all of those things.
Well, it is very challenging, and you've been so encouraging, Rebecca, and I just want to thank you for being so transparent with your journey. It's so encouraging to know that you're not alone. Sometimes that can be the starting place, to know that this isn't just me, you know, that there are other people who have walked this road, who have had these same struggles, who have had these same thoughts, these same wonderings, and to be able to get together, even if that's through reading your book, or they can follow on your podcast, or find you on social media. You have they can find you on Instagram at Rebecca George Author or RadicalRadiance.live. And this book releases tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Tomorrow. That's so exciting. Congratulations, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
God's blessings. Go and get a copy of this book. Help her to have a fantastic launch, not only for her book, but for the next chapter in your journey, wherever God will lead you. You are not too late. It is not too late. It is never, ever too late. You can trust God's timing in a hurry up world. This book really encouraged me and lifted me up. And thank you again, Rebecca, for sharing with us. And wherever you are in a season of waiting or longing, or if you're just trying to slow down, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, and that he will be gracious to you, and that he will bring you peace. And we will see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.